Hey guys, this is Austin.
And John.
And welcome to another episode of the Meat Gistics podcast.
I feel like we were just here because we were.
Yeah, it feels like yesterday.
It was yesterday, in fact. We had missed a week, so we had to do a makeup. And then there was some talk between Patrick and I, not with Austin, of pushing this one too, but we didn't want to get right back into the same situation we just dug ourselves out of. So here we are.
Yeah.
Could be an abbreviated one today for sure.
I don't know. There's times when we have a hard time figuring out, well, what are we going to talk about and how's it going to go? And then a lot of times when we get into something, we just get off on so many different subjects and we get into something deep and all of a sudden it's like, well, time's up.
Right. And that could happen. But a couple of things I want to try to focus on from like a personal aspect is I want to be more positive on these.
You've been a real negative Nancy.
I listened to a few of them and it kind of shook me up a little bit. I'm like, ooh, that's not who I am. Like, or at least not who I was. Now, just, I mean, you know a bunch of this. I've been going through a ton of stuff outside of here. And I guess that's bled in more to my personality than I realized. So from a personal aspect, I'm going to try to do that. And then really, we talked about this yesterday too, but real quick, Travis making such a strong point of, hey, you guys are not afraid to talk about controversial things. I'm like, huh, maybe we should pull back on some of that a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to change any of my opinions on foods, food supply chain, how best to deal with meat, any of that. But everything else, I might try to pare back some of my hotter takes.
I don't know. If anybody out there thinks we're being too opinionated on things, you just remember, hey, this is our opinion. And we don't sit here and tell you, you have to do this this way. Or
right.
This is how you should think. This is all just what's going through our minds. Honestly, it's better if people have differing opinions on things because that's how we make things better overall. So hopefully people do disagree with us on different things. But I don't necessarily have an issue with being quote unquote controversial at times to an extent, but
I think that also would play out if you listen to some older ones. I think you would be more surprised at what I say more than what you say. Like there's more
so
time.
Are you saying like you're definitely the more controversial?
I would say. Yeah. Like the ones I listen to, if even a few of them, I'm like, oh, he's trying to like allow me a path back in here. And I'm just not taking it, going full barrel down. The one that you thought you had me listen to again before we released it with BHA, I have no problem with anything I said there. There, I still think I'm 100% right.
Yeah, you were leading down a road of like indentured servitude and slavery. Yeah.
Well, no. Don't say the S word. But no, it was after high school. It would be good for kids. It would have been awesome for me. It would have been so good for me if I had like gone and worked out in the parks for a year, helping build paths and roads and getting to know other people. That would have been so beneficial to me. Instead, I had no idea what I wanted to do, went to college and ended up $60,000 in debt.
Well, you went to the wrong college because if you spent $60,000, I hear about that. We're going to get on a tangent here. Okay. I hear about that stuff all the time about, oh, we're so much in debt from college. It's like, dude, where'd you go? Because I went to two different great schools and did not spend anything like that.
Oh, I thought you were doing something audio. Patrick was pointing at himself $60,000 too.
Oh.
Yeah, it's what happens, man.
Maybe overall, I guess it could cost $60,000 in 4 years.
Right.
Do you not pay for any as you went?
I paid for some of it as I went. Lacrosse paid for the majority of Dean, but then the school I went to and failed right out of was $28,000 a year.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was terrible. I remember sitting in my first math class. And it was literally the first math class. And I went, oh no, I'm in trouble. Like I did not learn any studying skills at Dean. Like my high school was harder than the first college I went to by far.
Yeah.
So threw me off.
We need to have more people going into programs like meat science.
God, yes.
Seriously, that's something that
plumbers.
You don't find a lot of people doing meat science or food science in general. I mean, it's not a very popular study,
but it should be
there. But I mean, I think it's really cool. I'm kind of biased just because that's the industry we're in.
Yeah.
But super practical.
When I was growing up, and I might have been on the tail end of this, there was a big concern that there was going to be mass starvation across the world because populations were growing too quickly. Well, We improved our farming techniques, all sorts of techniques, and we're able to feed most people. Unfortunately, there is still a lot of hunger out there. But that's all food science stuff. Mm-hmm. If I had a kid today, actually, when I, I just said I wasn't going to do things like this. Eventually, I'm going to go to an orphanage and have all the kids run 40 times, and I'm going to adopt the fastest one.
No. Okay, this is where we're getting into controversial topics, and you can't do that, John.
I'm just kidding. But no, if I had a kid, I'd push him towards plumbing, like something. Do it with your hands. It will always be necessary. People are always going to need plumbers or something like that. Like, I don't know. Don't go to college just to go to college. Sure, the party's fun, but it's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So a couple things we're going to talk about today are horror stories from processing.
I'm already getting scared.
Yeah. Well, so I've talked about my big one, obviously, a bunch of times. That's the sodium erythorbate.
You almost killed every Walton's employee.
That's untrue, but you can go back to a previous episode and find that. Some of the what not to do stuff, and that would just be like things I've seen people talk about on Meatgistics where I didn't really pop in and say anything, but like, hey, that's not a great idea. And then wish lists of new things. I do have one thing I want to get to before all of that, though.
Okay.
So Tex, a couple of weeks ago, sent in an article that somebody had become the sole seller of this new type of beef, or it might not even be new type. It's Santa Carota beef. And it's beef that's finished on carrots. So 95% finished on carrots. So it's Holy Grail Steak Company. People seem to be pushing this. It's interesting.
It seems weird. Like, I
look at the color of it, though. I mean, that's a really pretty steak. Now, yes. Right. Yes.
We're looking at something on a screen.
Of course. Of course. But we have two coming to us on the way. That's why I was a few minutes late coming in here. I ordered us two. So we will try those on a future either podcast or live stream.
Well, now I'm actually excited.
Right. I figured. Yeah, okay. I figured. I don't know if it's better to do like we both just eat one or if we cook one and just get a regular ribeye, like a side by side or each have one. Because honestly, even a cheap steak, I still like.
Yeah. I think we both have had enough steak. We probably don't have to eat a side-by-side one of something else.
So we'll just cook these when they come in. Eat them
and go. No, this is how this compares to whatever else.
Do you have a favorite thing to do with like a cheaper cut of steak?
I mean, usually if I have some sort of cheap steak or cheap whole muscle anything, I end up turning it into like fajita strips. I like tacos, Mexican food. So that's usually what I'm going to do because I don't need as many tortillas as I used to. But before, I know everybody gives me crap for my me talking about like my Totino's diet. But before I was a Totino's fanatic, it was probably tortillas, meat and cheese.
I can't beat that.
I mean, that was probably my lunch and dinner for years and years. If it's like Mexican related, so I'd probably turn it into fajita meat.
You look like you've lost some weight recently.
Thanks, but no.
Okay. No. Your face looks less like it's full.
I don't know. It's probably just because I shaved.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I haven't shaved for a few days, but when I had the bushy beard, oh man, that made me look so fat. reason I had to shave it.
That made you look tough. Really? When you had your head shaved and that bushier beard, you looked like you were going to go out and wrestle bears and stuff.
I think I could have. Made me feel stronger.
But I don't think that would have gone well for you. I keep seeing on Instagram this Persian prince or something, and he's got two white tigers that look like they're adolescent and a baby, but quickly not becoming a baby, grizzly bear. It's amazing. The bear drinks a bottle from his hand. It is. I've always wanted a bear. And it makes these awesome noises, like just, it's awesome.
Someday there's going to be a news story that says, man eaten alive by tigers and bear.
Well, okay. So you think it's going to be that guy? Because eventually I am going to get a bear.
Oh, if it's you, yeah, you're definitely going to be in the headlines.
I mean, I started with a 100-pound dog, moved up to a 180-pound dog. There's not really much more you can stay in the canine family and go up. So bear is the next. Like start with a sun bear, then go to a black bear, and finally get a grizzly bear.
I'm thinking maybe you should go like with horses.
Mm, that doesn't sound like as much fun. Want something that
safer can, though.
Safer, for sure. For sure. But yeah, so those two stakes are coming. Obviously, we will let everybody know how they are. And thanks, Tex, for sharing that. From one of our previous ones, we had a bunch of people email in for getting to try the jerky. So I have started to get addresses back from that this upcoming week. We'll be sending out some of that jerky.
We need a dedicated form just for stuff like that. We'll have to talk more about that off air, but as many as you sent out, we need a deal where when people win, we just say, hey, go here and submit your stuff.
And it just automatically goes.
We probably could make it automatic.
Creates the order for me. Cause that's the part I hate.
Yeah.
Where would shipping would have to have a SKU for it though.
Yeah.
Or just like at the end of the day, they come and say, hey, I have this many orders of this.
Either or. Okay. We'll talk more later.
Okay. But. I like that idea. That's a good idea. All right. So horror stories. You or me first.
Can we like dim the lights and like get like a flashlight, hold it underneath our chin?
And he remembered he had an added cure.
I'll go first on horror stories, I guess. And this is where I don't know, I mean, trying to think of scary things. The one we already brought up from you is always, that always comes to mind for me because I legitimately think that one was scary.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the greatest one in the world for actually scary, but this would have been, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years ago. Actually, probably would have been more than that. I think I was still in high school, so it would have been a number of years more. But this was back when I did not know near as much about making product. I was a little green on things. I was making probably about a 50-pound batch of snack sticks, was all excited. This was not in this building then, so we didn't have
these
same facilities here in our test kitchen. We were just doing it in this kind of dingy, dungy concrete room and our break room.
Yeah.
And
is that the one that would occasionally have snakes in it?
I've heard of that. Mosley, I never saw them because I'm deathly afraid of snakes. Like as afraid of as like sharks. Like for okay. you,
that's pretty bad.
But yeah, nonetheless, I don't remember what I was exactly making the sticks for, but I know it was kind of for something. I wish I could remember, but everything was going great. It looks like it's perfect. Get them in the smokehouse and. When they're done, I mean, you always go to the smokehouse. You're excited. You want to eat stuff fresh out of it because that, in my opinion, is the time that meat products taste the best.
Yep.
No matter what it is, as soon as you open that smokehouse door, you take a bite and it's never going to be topped. Open the door and there's a puddle of grease on the bottom and every snack stick is wrinkled beyond all belief and you can see just massive veins running through everything. It was like the worst fatting out experience that I've ever seen, ever had. And I mean, I just lost 50 pounds of product. It was still edible,
right?
But you look at that and I can't share that with any of my friends. I can't give that to anybody else because it's
dry, tasteless product.
Yeah.
Doesn't your family do this for a living?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that.
I still went through and I ate it, but the meat was just dry, dry, dry. The casings were all just peeling off. It would make a mess in the vac bag. the fat itself, I don't think there was an ounce of fat left actually in the sausage, and it'd just be really weird eating it. Every time you take a bite, it's just reminding you of what did you screw up? How'd you do this? Did you not mix enough? What did you not do? Did you cook wrong? I probably did a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I probably cooked wrong and I mixed wrong.
What do you think is the more common cause of fatting out? Cook wrong or lack of protein extraction?
Protein extraction.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible you can get great protein extraction. If you cook too fast, it's going to render out no matter what. But most commonly, it would be just not getting that bind, not using a binder. I can't remember the last time I've made a cured stick without both cure accelerator of some sort or the other and a binder. There's just no reason not to use them. And I used to tell people, yeah, you know, SureGel, you can go with some of the less expensive ones, but it's like $2 difference between SureGel and like soy protein blend. And the SureGel does such a better job.
Yeah. And sometimes people look at it and they're like, well, it's, even if it's a bigger difference, if you're looking at like a bag of seasoning, are you going to buy a bag of seasoning that's $5 or one that's $15? Mm. $15 sounds like a lot more, but split that out over your 25 pounds and how much it's actually going to increase the cost of like a package of snack sticks, and it's negligible. It's still going to end up being, if you're making it at home, a whole lot cheaper of a product than anything you'd buy like Slim Jims or Jack Link's at the store. Yep. So
I've got a couple of new, I have two samples here. I've brought in a couple of new seasonings behind your back. And one of them, they're not literally behind your back. One of them, when purchasing, told me the price. I'm like, surely that's the case price. They said, nope, that's per package. I was like, oh no. So I can't remember. It's either the jalapeno mango jerky, which sounds incredible. Can't wait to try that. Or the smoking jalapeno snack stick jerky seasoning.
Smoking jalapeno?
Smoking.
Huh.
So I don't. One of those two is going to probably take over because we got rid of the Excalibur, like the foodie brand, right? At least some of those have been discontinued. The smoked Gouda and feta, whatever one, that one's gone. That was the most expensive. This will now be, I think it's going to be like $40 a bag.
Jeez.
It's very expensive, but who knows? Maybe it'll be amazing.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So for my horror stories, I have three. One, I kind of already said, I was making snack sticks and it wasn't for a how-to video. I think it was to test a new seasoning. I'm pretty sure at least. And went through mix stuff. And as I'm getting ready to put everything on a tray to bring it into the smoker, I see an unopened 1 ounce package of SureCure. It's like, oh no, that was definitely what I was supposed to add in there. I had to cut open the casings, push it back into a meat lug, add it, mix it back up, and then stuff it again. And if you've ever tried to restuff product, it just did not want to stuff. I kept, you know, the gasket that goes around the piston that kept popping up because it was just too much. There was no way to make it happen. Yeah, just absolute nightmare. But I don't think anyone said anything like about the texture or anything. So in the end, it worked. Another one, it's when we first got the prototype for the new Walton's grinder in. I had ground a bunch of meat once through a 3/8 plate, and then we had to make something again. Can't remember what it was for, but not thinking, I mixed everything. I'm like, why are these fat particles so big? Like, this is ridiculous. What? And then I remembered, oh no, this has only been ground once. So I ground product that had already mixed in seasoning and started to get protein extraction. And if you want a better reason to not add seasoning in between your first and second grind, that's it.
It just slows down.
Oh my God. I was like, panic attack is the wrong word, but I was getting real antsy in here. I'm like, come on, grind faster. It drove me absolutely up a wall. Then Patrick was here for this one. We were testing a Weston Cuber attachment, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten to put the combs in. So a piece of meat was just staying up top. It wasn't getting pulled down. So I took the tongs and I went to just push it down and it grabbed that. And I realized how much power was behind that. Cause like, I didn't have a chance at holding it, like pulling it back. It just pulled right out of my hand and went down. And then the last one, I can't get in trouble for this, right? Indemnity? No. Immunity.
Immunity. There are certain things that you never get immunity from, but if you're about to confess that you killed a man, like,
oh no, everybody knows that.
Okay.
So when we were having the smoker issues with the moisture, Josh and I were looking at it. We had it open and we were trying to see like where the water was coming down from. So we had it running and I put my hand up as the fan was going.
No.
Oh yeah. And it caught my finger like really good. Opened up the knuckle and for like 3 days, thank God that was on a Friday, my knuckle was like the size of a quarter on this hand. Jeez. And it's not like I realized it. Josh gasped as I was going, so I stopped. And like, I think that's the only reason I didn't lose my entire finger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guaranteed I can't get in trouble, so.
Okay, just to clarify, and so everyone here on camera hears it, next time that happens, you have to fill out an accident report.
So for before, I would always, I used to not always wear a Hex Armor NXT glove under my Nitro glove. I now do when I'm deboning stuff because I got sick of having to hide my cuts from the two of you.
Yeah.
I would immediately slam a glove over it and just be like, nope, 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 and squeeze it. Like, come on, close, and then put some liquid bandage on it. But now I wear the Hex Armor NXT. No problems. All right, what not to do?
This is one that I knew better, and yet I did it anyways. And looking back now, I will never do this again.
Okay.
But I was making sausage with a friend of mine, and we had a little over 100 pounds. It was probably about 125 pounds total to do. And we were trying to decide what flavors to do, and I really didn't care. It wasn't for me. It was his. I was helping him out. And so I'm like, hey, here's some options. We can do this. And he's going through like everything that I'm throwing out. And he's looking at the website as well. And he's like, well, I want to do this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, you know, we really should pick like two or three. But we ended up doing 12 and a half pound batches for over 100 pounds of meat.
Oh,
that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because when you have that much meat and you do that small of batches, and this was before we really had that, before we had this room in particular.
Okay.
Even before the other room, before we had all the equipment there, so we didn't, everything we were using was still like the commercial equipment in the test kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to do all of that.
It's not designed for that.
Yeah, equipment that's designed for like 50 pound batches or more. And it was just, it was a nightmare. It should have, if we would have done like two 50 pound batches in a 25, we'd have been done in an hour.
Yep.
We were in there for probably 4 hours and cleaning for like another two.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I will, if I ever make sausage with somebody again, I will basically tell them after we figure out how much meat we have, this is how many flavors you can do. You can do no whatever more. You want, but right. You only have two options or three options, not 12.
So if you're only doing I'll make 12 and a half pound batches fairly regularly, but I'll only do that if I'm doing one, two max seasonings.
We literally did like 10.
Yeah, that's insane. That absolutely would drive me nuts. Then trying to keep everything separate. There was one time when I first started working back here, I was doing snack sticks, and it was Bloody Mary, Gigawatt, and Habanero. And when I put them in the ice bath, I lost track of what was what. And it was almost impossible to tell. I mean, the Bloody Mary, you could kind of be like, yeah, okay, that's not as hot as the other ones. But the Habanero and the Gigawatt, like, no, mm-hmm. Those are the same. I can't tell the difference.
I remember that because I had a couple bags of snack sticks in my fridge that were just mystery meat, and I always knew.
My best guess.
I don't know. We'll see.
I took my best guess. We are way better at labeling things now, thank God.
Yeah.
All right. So for mine, what not to do, I have took a little bit different a path on this one. One of the things that I've seen twice on Meatgistics where I haven't jumped in, but people defrosting meat in warm water.
Oh.
You are cooking that meat.
You can do it in cold water. So right. It's like
yeah,
that's 30 degrees, 32 degree right. water. Yep. But
we can't do it in 30 degree water because that'd be ice.
Technically, water can be 30 degrees.
If it's got salt in it?
Could be salt or could just be like moving or completely still. Have you ever noticed moving water like will keep it from freezing at times? or if it is 100% pure, not moving at all, take a bottle of water. The water could be like 25 degrees in there.
Yeah, that's a good
point. As
soon
as you open it and something disturbs it at all, then the whole thing just...
Yep, that's a good point. Okay. All right. I withdraw my remark. All right. So wish list of new things.
I would like a new pony and a train set.
I too once had a pony. No, realistic things.
So this is kind of a two-sided thing. When John and I first brought this up and we're talking about it, it could be products, new things that maybe we want to have here, or what's new for Meatgistics, or what new features are we going to have out there. One of the things we've been talking about with Meatgistics is having like a different user page. Right now, I don't think our user pages are bad, but they're nothing special.
Exactly.
It'd be nice to have a user page that people could put more information about themselves if they wanted. But then we also talked about having like almost like a private-ish message board just for that user. So John and I still have some fleshing out of the idea to do.
I don't know how we're going to do that, but basically we want it an easier way for people to manage chats in between users and a way to invite more people in simply. Because right now, if you're using our chat, you're going to click on that thing in the upper right hand and then it can open all of them. But then you have to like scroll up and find where you were in that message. I'd like something where it's like full screen, click on it, and then full screen of the text pops up. So I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see though. I think there's a lot of stuff that we could do with Meatgistics. I'm excited for what the possibilities are out there. One of the other things that we've talked about, I want to be able to do, I just don't have time right now, but my wish list has this item really high. I really want to get back to working on apps. We kind of have the one for Android. I was going to do the iPhone app, and then life has just been crazy and haven't got to that. But then I had this other idea to just basically start from scratch on them again. And then as John and I were throwing around ideas, we think we can put in some extra features to it that has a little bit different usage for the end user out there that may not be available directly on our Meatgistics website to start with. It may never be. We'll see how things go. But
there's that one thing that we're both thinking of that will be app only.
Yeah. So it opens up the possibilities to do a lot of fun stuff, I think.
For sure. But, and then when we make that app, it will be iOS and Android at the same time.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't do one and then the other again. It'll be a rollout of everything at one time.
Well, the only downside to that, I mean, I don't use iOS anymore, so I don't necessarily care. But I mean, I want everyone to be able to get it. Because what I wanted to do with the app was use that SendinBlue account to just send out like, hey guys, next 30 minutes, we're going to do this sale on this item. And only people who have downloaded the Meatgistics app would get that notification. But two things were happening. One, obviously it wasn't going to any iOS customers, which is unfair. And two, everybody was saying that it would show on their phone, but then it would just go away. Like there's no way to call it back.
Yeah.
So we need to work on that in the app. But when we have that, I think that can be a really cool way of interacting. Other thing we've talked about is a way to allow Meatgistics users to post or link to their videos.
Oh, like, I forgot about that. Oh,
I haven't.
I'm excited about that.
So what we're talking about here is, I mean, there's so many people doing amazing things with what did everybody cook today, things like that. It would just be another level of personalization and make things a little bit more interesting. If instead of just a still image, you were able to post a video. We've talked about this a little bit in the past because of some users, we would have it be where you would...
there will be moderation before the video is posted.
You'd submit it. We'd have to review it and approve it. But I really think that could put users' posts into an entirely new category.
I think the entire concept we've gone through works. We yep. just have to sit down
and do it.
And do it.
Yep. But yeah, that's definitely the big one for Meetgistics now that I have my special character automatic link. So I'll be able to, as I'm typing something out, if I want a link to encapsulated citric acid, I hit a special character and then start typing and then everything will fill down. I need somebody to create that database for me because I don't have time, but we're bringing somebody in. That will be one of their tasks.
I could probably also do that automatically. Probably wait till we're on the new site, but okay. we could go through and I could programmatically tell everything that you wanted or just do everything.
Right.
From that, we could try it and see how cluttered it was, but
okay.
just pull off everything that was on the website.
No parts. And just get okay, parts out of
every
there.
Normal
yeah,
item.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just pre-populate it with the name that is listed on the website.
No, that'd be awesome. Yeah, if we could do that, that'd yeah. be 100 times easier than having somebody sit down and just manually going through.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think about that, but that wouldn't be terribly hard to do.
Cool. So. That's awesome. And then for sort of, no, this is wish list. This is a different thing though. For the past year, longer, we've been working with a new manufacturer to try to get the electric stuffer figured out to the point where we're happy with it.
It needs to run like it was built by angels themselves.
And we have just, like, the number of times they've said they've, like, yep, no, it's good now. And then we try it again. We're like, nope, that is not how we want it. Yeah. They must hate us because we're being very specific on this. What we want is an electric stuffer that will somewhat easily let you make snack sticks.
We want a entry-level $3,000 hydraulic stuffer in a body of a $400.
Oh, well, yeah. It's stuffer. Never going to be $400. What was our old one? $800?
Oh, whatever we do.
I see what you're saying. I think in the body. Okay.
Whatever we do, I think it'll be less than our previous one.
Okay.
Our previous one, to be honest, I don't know why it costs so much, but I'm pretty sure that the cost will end up being a lot lower.
No, not to them, though. We'll just make more money.
No, we'll pass along the savings.
So yeah, that is definitely the biggest thing that I've been wanting. That obviously is aside from my ratcheting handle.
Have you told everybody?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we talked about it on a live stream. I have, like, I legitimately dream about that. I have had at least two dreams about that ratcheting handle. I just can't find anybody who's wanting to make it. We'll try that other guy. We'll see if that does it. Because, man, it's going to be back compatible. So everybody who's ever bought a sausage stuffer and uses it, and has, especially for people who do it by themselves, it's going to make life so much simpler. Well, maybe not life. just
everyone's going to walk around in their daily life with a sausage stuffer
so much
handle
better.
Ratchet.
It's like Xanax for regular life.
Perfect.
All right. You got anything else?
I don't know. I feel like I could sit here and probably talk all day about what I want.
Okay. Keep going.
I don't know that we should. One of the things that we've talked about in the past, and you guys can go back and listen on a previous episode about what we talked about in, like product kits and stuff. So that's on my wish list.
What about that?
Oh yeah. I would really like to have our own custom made smoker. That one's kind of complicated just because we've never done that ourselves. We've done, I guess technically we only manufacture one product truly ourselves.
Right.
But when I say manufacture, it's us telling whoever actually is manufacturing it, this is what we want done. Do blah, 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 blah. But in any of the products we've manufactured, I mean, we've had experience with some different machines and stuff, but smokers is different, and there's an electronic control and aspect to it that can get complicated, especially if you're talking like in comparison to wood, like some of the wood pellet stuff on the market, how they have Wi-Fi and apps that control them.
Ours so won't.
We could get very complicated very fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens there, but that's something I would really like to see happen. One of the other things on our wish list, and you guys will probably hear more about this. I actually don't know if I have talked about any of this publicly, but I guess I will some. I want a bigger warehouse.
Oh.
And we are planning on doing that soon. We are going to be expanding. We're trying to work out all the details and figure out how and when things are going to happen, and exactly where that expansion is going. But we already, we're already waiting for construction on a detached storage building here that'll help it help when we're bringing in, containers and containers of stuff. We can get a storage building like that, like we already have in the parking lot, built in a few months versus an actual expansion is going to take us a year plus to do.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get something up for this fall and then hopefully have something for next fall that's a little better suited there. But that's an exciting thing, I think, in my mind.
So we don't have to go too in detail to it, but I mean, we just put in the ramps for the trucks. We're not tearing that out and moving that, right? Oh, you are?
Not immediately, but okay. It might be. Yeah.
Oh, that's
you and I'll have to sit down. This was part of what we talked about Tuesday, when we had our board meeting.
Okay.
So
which I and for some reason didn't get an invite to. That seems weird.
And then that ran over, and John and I normally have a meeting on Tuesday, and really? So I bailed on that meeting, but I'll have to share with you what we're looking at and where okay. we're at on stuff. But
cool.
We're making some progress, kind of. I don't know, the other like internal things. We've done a lot of projects, I'd say, lately, like just internally at Walton's.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
One of the ones left that I still haven't got done is moving to like an entirely electronic picking system. Right now, I feel like we have a pretty good workflow in the warehouse. But the picking side is all still manual, and it's paper, and it's annoying. So hopefully before this year's out, we'll have a new fancy system back there that's fully electronic. And
so like a some sort of pad, they'll
yeah.
have some sort of electronic device.
Maybe a phone size deal, maybe okay. a tablet, but something where instead of looking at a piece of paper and looking at an item and going, yeah, this matches, this is how many I need. I mean, it's digital, so you're scanning to verify everything. It's telling you where to go instead right. of you looking at the pick sheet and trying to decide where to go. We do scan and have everything electronic, and there's a lot more automated process when you get to packing and shipping, but the picking side really needs an improvement there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make on a speed standpoint. I mean, I've said it a bunch of times. I'm really impressed with the way we have our shipping department, warehouse, all that set up. It's very slick, in at least in my mind. And I always tell Taylor, I'm like, why isn't, because I forget, I'm like, why isn't this right next to this? Because it's that's where I need it to be. And he's yeah. like, he looks at me like, don't be stupid. It's like, think it out. I'm like, ah, okay. We sell more of these. Mm-hmm. So everything we sell more of gets closer to the bursting stations.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it makes the most sense. All right, you got anything else? You do.
Newer things for live streams. We've been talking about that and what we're changing for equipment in here.
Okay.
But then also platform-wise, I actually found out something 2 days ago that there's a new platform that is doing live streaming now too, that I'm excited about. But whenever we get our new equipment in here for changing up live streaming,
that'll be
we
next
might.
Week.
In next week, mm-hmm. okay, we will hopefully be able to, like, if this is the right word, simulcast yep. Across different platforms. And there's a new one out there that, well, I guess it's not a total new platform, but they have live streaming now.
Oh, is it Rumble?
Rumble.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. We can start doing some stuff then. All right, yeah. cool. Because the big holdback on moving a bunch of things to Rumble was that. Okay, that's cool. That what that will do, guys, is allow us to get a Walton's branded media player, and we will probably change the look and aspect of some of the Meetjistic stuff, so it's easier for you guys to not have to go to YouTube to watch a how-to video. You go to the Meetjistic article, hit play, full size screen will come up that's Walton's branded, and you can watch it right there.
Yeah, it'll all be more native to yeah. our website and our app.
Yeah, that's awesome. As we pull back from YouTube because they're part of the monster. They'll be good, John.
Trying to think if I have anything else fun.
No, I met with Patrick and I met with IT. We came out with a plan. I mean, it just makes far more sense to build a computer then bring in that Pearl 2 and then pay that extra. If we didn't have to pay the extra $2,500 to record in 4K for software, it's just software.
It's ridiculous. It's
the same unit. They just want $2,500 more to allow that same unit to record in 4K. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we're not buying it because of that. Instead, we're just going to build a computer. It's going to be many thousands of dollars cheaper, like a fraction of the cost, gives us all the same tools and probably better. So our live streams, we should start being able to do some more interesting stuff. Nope, that will have already happened by the time this comes out. Next live stream, I'm giving away that Primavac, or I have given away that Primavac.
Cool.
We'll be after that. You got anything else?
That's all I got for now.
Cool. Well, for one that we didn't know how long it was going to be, I feel like we did a pretty good rambling there.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks, guys. Remember to like, comment, subscribe. And please, if you listen on Stitcher, on Apple, iTunes, podcast, whatever, please leave us a review. It really does help.
Thanks for checking out the Meatgistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Walton's, everything but the meat.